Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Courtney Mares. She'll give a reflection and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we're going to see some highlights from Courtney Mares' previous shows with us regarding Carlo Acutis. And Courtney is also the author of the book A Saint in Sneakers, which is a story about Carlo Acutis' life and his path to holiness.
And we have his canonization coming up September 7th, so that's why we're re-airing parts of her shows. We're now going to Reflection with Courtney Mares.
Carlo Acutis called the Eucharist my highway to heaven. And for him, the Eucharist truly was the source and summit and the center of his life of holiness and his heroic virtue. Shortly after his first communion, Carlo told his mother that he wanted always to be united to Jesus. And the way he did that was by attending Mass as often as he could. Luckily, growing up in Milan, in the city, his apartment was just around the corner from his parish church and his Catholic school. And so that Carlo was able to walk around the corner and stop in the church to pray in front of the tabernacle or attend Mass before and after school. And that's how Carlo was able to attend daily Mass as an elementary school student and as a high school student. And Carlo really allowed the love of God from his life of prayer and the sacraments to overflow and to share, and he shared that with the people in his life, especially his classmates. Carlo is known as being a great friend. He was very affectionate and kind and generous and loyal. He stood up for classmates who were being picked on by bullies, and he was also there for his friends in their times of need. In my book, I share the story about one of Carlo's friends named Vanessa, who shared with us the story about how when her parents were going through a separation, it was a really difficult time for her. And as a friend, Carlo saw this, and he approached her and said, God sees your suffering, and he is with you, and God loves you, and you are not alone. Please know that you're never alone. And Carlo actually took it a step further and gave her a Bible and essentially said, you know, read this and know that God loves you and you are never alone. And so that's just one of the ways that Carlo was able to share the love of God with his classmates, his peers, anyone he encountered in his life. Carlo's love of God is just contagious. And he's a great inspiration to us to not be afraid to share our faith as well.
Well, Courtney, the title of your book is called Blessed Carlo Acutis, A Saint in Sneakers, which is kind of a catching title. But what does that refer to exactly, a saint in sneakers?
Yeah, where the title comes from is when you visit Carlo's tomb in Assisi, and when you walk into the church, what you see before you is young Carlo, who's buried in a track jacket, mm-hmm. jeans, and Nike sneakers. And while I was working on the book, I spent a lot of time just sitting in his tomb, praying, but also yeah. observing and seeing when people came in. And I just realized this is one of the first times in history that we're seeing a saint in Nike sneakers. I mean, Carlo will be the first millennial saint
yeah.
when he's canonized next year, and also the first computer coding saint in the nearly 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church. So it's kind of embracing this this idea that he is a saint of our times.
Right. I think that first impression would be very impactful. To see somebody that lived during our, you know, just the struggles or the maybe prosperity that we've experienced here in the United States, but maybe even in Italy, but just there's that connection that, you know, he's one of us.
Definitely, yeah.
And he's already lived his life, but he lived it for God. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I think about him, you know, death is on this side of life a tragic thing, but when you see how he lived his life and how that was so totally and completely devoted to God, really inside there's really a happiness that settles in, because it's like, you know, here's a person that's very close to God.
Yes. Yeah, Carlo did not live that long. He died at the age of 15 mm-hmm. in 2006. And he was ready to go at the age of 15 because he'd lived his life totally for the Lord and knew that death was not something to be dreaded, right, but a moment of just total surrender to the Lord. And that's one of the ways that he is so inspiring.
Right.
For many of us, it's easy to say, oh, if I lived in early Rome, of course I would, you know, give up my life for the faith and be a martyr. But I think because Carlo lived in our time, he takes away some of our rationalizations that we may have. And he shows us, you know, if you really believe that Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, why don't you make that effort to go to Mass, you know, every day, or to be, to visit the tabernacle as often as you can? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you make those little heroic daily sacrifices?
And which is something he really did. Really took that to heart at a young age. And I first heard about Carlo. I'd never heard about him before entering a religious life. But our Bishop Emeritus, Bishop Baker, Robert Baker, would often preach on Carlo. And I thought that was very impactful. It was just that witness and his really devotion to Carlo Acutis, because it seemed like in every homily, his name was brought up. And I think that that's a good reason, because he is a modern day, I think soon to be saint, that we should really turn our eyes to in today's world.
When you hear about a 15-year-old who's going to be declared a saint, you might assume, oh, they come from a really Catholic, devout family. Mm-hmm. But that just wasn't the case with Carlo. His mother said that she attended Mass for weddings and funerals, but it wasn't, you know, like they didn't even go to church every Sunday. And so Carlo was actually introduced to the faith by a nanny from Poland whom they hired when he was very, very young. And she's likely the first person who brought him to Catholic Mass, told him the basics of the faith, taught him how to pray the rosary, something he grew to have a huge devotion to. And Carlo took to it. He just showed this great love and devotion from God from a young age, and would ask, you know, his parents, oh, if they passed the church, oh, can we stop inside and greet Jesus?
Right.
And then as Carlo grew older, he was a very curious child and he had a lot of questions. So he was always coming to his mother with lots of questions about the Catholic faith and about God and about heaven. And his mother, not being a practicing Catholic at the time, felt a bit illiterate on how to answer these questions.
Yeah.
And so his mother actually sought out the help of a Catholic priest and said, listen, you know, my son has all these questions. I don't know how to answer them. But then slowly in those conversations, her son's questions became her questions, and she learned more of the why behind the Catholic faith. His mother and his father and others, many others in his family, returned to the sacraments and returned to practicing the faith. And his mother went on to become a great, you know, evangelizer and catechist in her own right. And she to this day calls Carlo my little savior. So it's just beautiful to see Carlo's contagious love of God that just affected so many people in his short life. Carlo's parents would say that for their son, it was like the tabernacle was this magnet. He was just attracted to Jesus's presence in the Eucharist and wanted to be there. Another great phrase we have from Carlo is that he said that people who place themselves in front of the sun get a tan, while people who place themselves in front of the Eucharist become saints. And we see that certainly with Carlo's life.
Yeah.
Is, you know, St. Therese is a patron saint of missionaries, mm-hmm. and yet she didn't leave her cloistered convent. And it's one of the beautiful kind of contradictions in her faith. And you see that also with Carlo, that he's called, you know, the global influencer of God. You know, Carlo's gone viral. And yet he lived pretty much a relatively normal life for a young person and a teenager of his time. He still, you know, he went to school, was a good friend to his classmates.
Well, in his own way, he was an online missionary.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
What he was.
It's true. Yeah. And it's amazing how he's also been able to reach so many people after he's died. I think that's one of the incredible things too, about how his story continues to inspire so many people. When Carlo was going into his second year of high school, shortly after the school year had started, his mother noticed a red spot in his eye, and then Carlo developed a fever, and you know, they decided he should take a sick day. And what started out as a relatively normal sick day for Carlo, he was on his computer doing homework, praying the rosary, typical Carlo things, quickly it became clear that Carlo was very ill. And so his parents took him to the hospital. He underwent some tests, and then he got the diagnosis that he had cancer. He had leukemia. And Carlo accepted this serious diagnosis with such serenity that it actually had an effect on, you know, the doctors and nurses in the hospital were just inspired by this young boy and how he responded to this moment of illness. And of course, we also saw Carlo, as he was suffering with cancer, he said, you know, I offer up all that I am suffering for the Pope and for the Church. And he made this act of offering up the suffering that he endured. And Carlo really believed in the power of redemptive suffering. Once again, you know, this great spiritual wisdom that he had at such a young age, to believe that, you know, the suffering that he endured had value, and when it was united to Christ's salvific offering on the cross. And Carlo died young. He died at the age of 15. And he didn't have that much time on earth, but he was ready to go. He had lived his life completely for God and knew that, you know, the Eucharist had truly been his highway to heaven. And he was ready to offer himself up to the Lord.
Yeah, and that's such a tough message to hear.
Yeah.
And I don't know maybe how advanced, you know, his leukemia was, but it seemed like things happened rather quickly.
Things happened very quickly, yeah. He died within a week of of learning that he had leukemia, so it was very rapid.
Was there anything that really impacted you or surprised you as you were learning more about Carlo Acutis?
Yeah, there was one interview I did that was just so interesting. I met with a man who converted from Hinduism to Catholicism after meeting Carlo. His name was Rajesh Mohair, and he was originally from the island of Mauritius and grew up in a very Hindu family of the Brahmin priestly class. And he had very little exposure to Christianity until he was hired by the Acutis family to be an au pair. And his job was taking care of Carlo. And part of that was taking him to and from school. And Carlo always wanted to pray in front of the tabernacle or go to mass on his way to and from school.
Right.
So he just found himself, you know, inside a Catholic church, watching this little boy pray so reverently reverently in front of the tabernacle and was just so fascinated by it. But then, of course, Carlo being Carlo, he was very outgoing and loved to speak about the things that he loved. Carlo loved to speak about heaven, about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, about the Mass. And so he would just have all these conversations with Rajesh about the faith. And he even taught Rajesh how to pray the rosary. And 4 years after meeting Carlo, Rajesh was baptized in the Catholic Church. Mm. And it was a great moment of celebration for the entire Kudus family, but for Carlo especially. And so that was just one of the things that was so remarkable, that you meet these people, you know, adults who converted and were baptized after meeting this young boy.
And that was the other thing about Carlo that really kind of surprised me, was that, you know, his family wasn't just a practicing Catholic family, but he had a faith, you know, that was very, I think, attractive to many people. In one sense, you know, his own family reclaimed the faith through his example.
Yeah, Carlo's spiritual director has attested that Carlo was convinced that the scientific evidence from Eucharistic miracles would be persuasive in helping people awaken them to the reality of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and help to bring people back to the Mass. That was Carlo's real goal with this Eucharistic miracles project. And for 2.5 years, Carlo worked with his family researching, using the computer to research all these different Eucharistic miracles all around the world and put it together into this great display, an exhibition that displayed during the year that John Paul II declared as the year of the Eucharist. And after Carlo's death, this particular exhibit has gone on to be displayed in parishes and churches and shrines all over the world. And it continues to reach people, you know, with these stories. I think one of the great secrets of Carlo's life was that he lived a life of deep prayer. Mm-hmm. And by being rooted in the sacraments, in Mass and confession in particular, those two, Carlo was able to receive the graces he needed to approach technology in a healthy way. Right. And I think that's one of the greatest ways that he is an exemplar of how to approach technology today, because those same graces are available to us. Yeah. You know, we can also go to Mass, pray the rosary, go to confession. And I think that's one of the many ways that he's a great example for young people.
You know, and one of the things about Carlo in our digital age is that although he loved computers and video games, he was also detached from them.
Exactly.
As much as he loved them, it's kind of an irony there.
Yes.
Because he could, you know, put that aside, you know, and focus on God. Mm-hmm. You know, as a boy, you know, a guy will play 8 hours, you know, and that's almost nothing.
Right.
But, you know, he had that discipline, you know, to say, nah, I need to pray.
You know, you mentioned there's so many temptations that, you know, social media and the internet, you know, provide for young people today. I think one of those is also you see vanity and the selfie culture that's appeared. And I think that's something important to know about Carlo, is that he didn't use the internet or media to try to promote himself. Mm-hmm. He wasn't posting all these selfies online. In fact, Carlo had this great phrase he liked to repeat, which was, non io ma Dio, which means not me but God, but it's catchier in the Italian. Non io ma Dio.
Yeah.
And that kind of is what Carlo teaches us, you know, in kind of approaching some of these things. I remember one day after Carlo's beatification, Pope Francis appeared in the window for the Angelus, and he said that Carlo shows young people that true happiness is found when you put God first. Mm. And I think that really is a central lesson from his life.
Amen. That is so true. Well, Courtney, thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you. It's been great.
You know, one thing I was struck by what Courtney said about his life was that he rooted his life in the sacraments and prayer. And then that's what guided him in his interaction with technology, how he used technology, mm-hmm. the gaming, and even the Eucharistic display that he made, the videos and stuff. But it's so simple, but that's what we need, especially like in this AI generation that we find ourselves in, is to get our prayer life, to get centered on Christ right, and then go into these fields, you know, without being overwhelmed by it, without being becoming addicted to it, you know, but to use it with some freedom and to use it for good.
Yeah, to me, he's a model of the new evangelization because he's somebody, you know, who's in the culture. I think he's very relevant for our times. He knows society. He knows the challenges that many young people face. And there's a lot of temptations anytime you go into the digital world that we are going to encounter. And we have to have a very strong faith life, a spiritual life. We need to be close to Jesus, as Blessed Carlo Acutis was. And I think, too, he's a great promoter or defender of our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist. What he achieved at 15 years old, he compiled a massive library on the Eucharistic miracles around the world.
On a website.
And that takes a lot of time and effort and really a lot of research to put all that together. Mm-hmm. And he was the man for the job. He did it. Yeah. He did it when he was 15. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, something to really look to. Because although he lived a very short life, he lived his life in a very big way. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I love this quote from him. He says, "When we face the sun, we get a tan. But when we stand before Jesus in the Eucharist, we become saints."
Mm. Yeah, that's very good.
And I think sometimes that can be a very good way to look at it, like bring the body, right? And the soul and the mind will follow, right? And just to carve that time out for Jesus, you know, if we can go to church and go to adoration, you know, that's so powerful form of mm-hmm. prayer that he works on us, just our being there.
Yeah.
And yes, if you can have great thoughts and great meditations, do it, go for it. But to realize there's a value just coming before our Lord and being in his presence just to receive.
You know, and in his life, you know, that was something that was cultivated at a young age from really through the influence of his nanny that, you know, would bring him to a church and then go in and pray before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. But that was something that always stuck with him. And he was always very close to Jesus, and I think in a very profound way.
That's a great part of our story, too, that the parents weren't that devout. The nanny introduced him to this. He really took a hold of it and then led his parents into a deeper faith. So it's a beautiful image of the family and evangelization. Well, we'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May he fill you with the Eucharistic faith. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
So baby, this is mommy. Just want you to know that you are saving me, 'cause I choose life, and I choose life, and I choose to be that sacrifice. Out of all of the others, you placed them in me. This precious gift was meant to be. So I choose. Take all of me, have your way in me. Said I'm ready, purify me and make me what you want me to be. Said